You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, everybody, and happy Wednesday. Hope your week is going well. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We have a packed show for everybody this afternoon. So I'm not going to give you the usual rundown of our lineup. You're just going to have to stay tuned for the whole thing. Lots of terrific guests, lots of very, very timely conversations. Today is the first day of early voting for the April 1st general election here in the state of Wisconsin, where we will elect our next state Supreme Court justice, as well as the state's next superintendent of public instruction. Today, we're going to begin our show by focusing on that state Supreme Court race. On the ballot, in many ways, shapes, and forms, you could say that you may be casting a vote for fair legislative maps. Do we want legislators that choose their voters, or do we want voters to choose their legislators? Do we want to encourage collaboration across the aisle? But what most voters are looking to on this April 1st ballot is the fact that women's reproductive freedoms, and in fact, healthcare freedoms writ large for all of us, may be on the ballot. My next two guests are here to talk about exactly that. My first guest, you've heard her here before on the Maggie Dawn Show. She's Minnie Timuraju. She is the Executive Director of Reproductive Freedom for All, formerly known as NARAL Pro-Choice America. As well as we've got another very special guest with us, Amanda Zarowski. She's got quite a personal story about the costs of draconian restrictions on our most fundamental liberties. Amanda and Minnie, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate your time. You ladies are very busy today. Minnie, I want to start with you. You're between rallies. Tell us what's going on today and why Reproductive Freedom for All is involved in these rallies this afternoon.
Well, it's so great to be back with you, Maggie, and hello to all your listeners who I know are so committed to understanding their civic duty in the state. Today is the first day of early vote. And as you mentioned, we've got this critical state Supreme Court race. Susan Crawford is the candidate we're here to back because of the fact that, you know, reproductive freedom is still up for grabs in this state. And we need a judiciary that's going to, you know, interpret the law accurately and fairly and equitably. We have 85,000 members in the state. They have been activated on this campaign. And we are really concerned about the threat of Elon Musk-backed candidate. A lot of, billionaire Trump allies dumping resources in the state to push a very extremist anti-abortion radical to your state Supreme Court, flying in the face of what we know Wisconsinites want and what Wisconsinites have been fighting for, which is reproductive freedom. And listen, you know better than anyone in the country how to elect fair judges. You did it before with Judge Janet Protasiewicz. So we're here to support our local leaders and our members in the state to get this done again, to protect our rights and our freedoms in the state.
Minnie, a quick follow-up to that, and then I want to turn to you, Amanda. When I have talked to voters across the spectrum, but especially conservative voters, what I hear from them when I say Elon Musk is dumping somewhere north of 11 million, and this was as of like a couple weeks ago when I tried to track down all the dollar figures, north of 11 million, he is by scale the single largest donor probably in American history for a single judicial election in this country. They often come back to me with, but what about George Soros? Minnie, I thought I'd give you a chance to respond to that.
That's a great, thank you for giving me that chance. A couple of things. When Donald Trump ran for president, he made the point, frankly, to deflect on his own role in overturning Roe v. Wade, that he wanted to leave abortion rights and reproductive freedom up to the states. Leave it to the states was his commitment. Elon Musk is a Donald Trump ally of the highest order. He is, some would say, the shadow president of the United States, and he is dumping $11 million of his own funds into Wisconsin to influence the Supreme Court case to do the exact opposite of what Donald Trump campaigned on, which is leave to the states. Outside money to that, you know, that number coming into the state is outrageous. I cannot speak to outside spending by Democratic aligned donors, but I will say this, those of us who are activated and working in this state, we have local ties. We are working with our membership in the state. We are here fighting for what we know Wisconsinites want, and it is a grassroots movement. And that is the big difference between our side and theirs. Their side is full of dark money and extremist activists who do not stand with folks in Wisconsin. The majority of Wisconsinites support reproductive freedom, and our side is being fueled by a grassroots army of activists in the state who want to see Elon Musk and Donald Trump staying out of their business. All eyes on Wisconsin and what we can do to protect our rights here.
Folks, that's Minnie Timmeraju, the Executive Director of Reproductive Freedom for All. Today, to start off the show, we're celebrating the first day of early voting here in Wisconsin. Of course, this Supreme Court election is in many ways a choice of reproductive freedom for all, healthcare freedom for all, or the draconian alternative. My next guest, Amanda Zurowski, knows those risks personally. Welcome to the show, Amanda. You've testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee. You brought a lawsuit against the state of Texas for the ordeal that you and your family had to go through when you had a pregnancy that was threatened and you were forced into an absolutely impossible set of decisions when you were still in Texas. Tell us about it, Amanda.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me and for bringing me together with my good friend Minnie here. It's great to be reunited and love Wisconsin, so we're glad to be here. Hello to all of your listeners. So it's interesting, you know, you said I've been speaking out about a set of impossible choices, but actually what happened to me was the lack of choice.
Lack of choice.
I live in Austin, Texas, and Texas has one of the cruelest abortion bans in the country. It's a near total ban, one of the exceptions being life of the mother. And in 2022, I was 18 weeks pregnant with a baby that my husband and I wanted very, very much. And unfortunately, at 18 weeks, I miscarried. And it was the same week that the trigger ban in Texas went into effect. And so what that meant was my doctor could not induce labor because the baby's heart was still beating. So it would have been considered an abortion, which is now illegal. So I had to wait until I met the medical exception, which is life of the mother. So what happened to me was I didn't have a choice other than to sit around and wait until I was on death's door, which happened 3 days later when I went into septic shock, which nearly killed me twice and left me in the hospital for about a week and permanently compromised my fertility as a result of what I went through. So this is a story I've been sharing widely for, you know, over 2 years now. Just spreading awareness of what it means to live in a state with these kinds of bans and what it means to live in a state with people on the bench who do not support a woman's right to choose or her own bodily autonomy.
Amanda, what's your message to the voters in the state of Wisconsin for women in Wisconsin and men, you know, who might love a woman or care about women or have a daughter? What do you want them to know about the stakes of this election on April 1st?
You know, I am really excited for the voters of Wisconsin because they have the opportunity here to really cement into history what we already know, which is that most Americans, most Wisconsinites support reproductive freedom. And they have a chance to cement that here in this election. And I think in doing so, not only will it make life better and safer for folks in Wisconsin, but it's going to be a real beacon of hope for the rest of the country. And I'm really, really excited about that and looking forward to April 1st.
Folks, that's Amanda Zurowski. She is probably best known, you may recall, Amanda, from her sharing of her story, as she did this afternoon with each and every one of you, about how the state of Texas stripped her of choice and forced her to place her own life at risk, as well as her fertility, because of Texas's draconian abortion ban. We have our own pseudo version of that here in Wisconsin. It is as if that choice, that question about whether or not we believe in healthcare freedom for all, reproductive freedom for all, is on the ballot. It's as good as on the ballot on April 1st. Minnie, with we got a little bit of time left before we have to take care of a little bit of business. Minnie, when we look at this race in the broader national political context, how important is this? Is it being seen as sort of a litmus test for the popularity of Donald Trump's first few weeks as president? Is it being seen as a referendum on whether or not people are okay with an unaccountable billionaire overlord dismantling the systems that so many of us rely upon?
Yeah, you know, look, our interest in this race and our reason for being here is to protect abortion rights. But like, I do think you raise two very good points. I think, you know, again, when you have a president who campaigned on leaving something to the citizens of the states, and then you have a billionaire activist who is allied with him dumping resources into a race to influence the race, you have to question whether or not this is a referendum on that president and his allies. It's an obvious question that you're asking. I think what we've seen, I'll go back to 2023, before the 2024 presidential, where we had, you know, the Virginia legislature, for example, up in play and around the same issue of abortion rights. And then last year, we had 7 out of 10 ballot measures on abortion resoundingly pass, 8 if you count the fact that Florida's passed by 57% when the threshold was 60%. You've seen a clear support for abortion rights in this country. I think that's what this is a referendum on. But gosh, I really do hope it repudiates outside influence meddling in the way that we're seeing with Musk.
Yeah, indeed. Money is not speech. Corporations are not people. And we women and people of Wisconsin deserve reproductive freedom. We're going to have more with Minnie Timiraju and Amanda Zaroski after these brief messages. Don't go anywhere. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
I feel the earth move under my feet. Well, welcome back. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We got a packed show for you today, but to kick it off, we are celebrating the first day of voting for this spring's general election. There's no more just one voting day. We got a whole voting period of time, and the first day you can technically early vote is today. I've got some good news for y'all. I want to go early vote. That's not the good news. This afternoon before the show, and there was an enormous line at the polling place. I was really excited to hear that. I've got two amazing women joining me for the first half hour of the show today, rallying to get out the vote in support of Judge Susan Crawford, the pro-choice candidate that you will find on your ballot this spring general election. It is as if reproductive freedom and indeed healthcare freedom for all is on your ballot. These two ladies know all about it, stumping today both in Milwaukee and in Madison to help get out the vote for Judge Crawford. I have both Amanda Zaroski as well as Minnie Timiraju, who's the executive director of Reproductive Freedom for All. Amanda Zaroski, you know this lady. She is the one who has been sharing her personal story, not just in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee, but across the country in rallies like those going on today. Why is Amanda sharing her story? Because her pregnancy was non-viable. However, she lived in Texas. And because of that, the draconian abortion ban in Texas nearly cost Amanda her life, not once, but twice, and has placed her continued fertility at risk. Amanda, I wanted to come back to you. Your story is so personal. How did you, are you comfortable with sharing it now? How do you get over that? It's such an intimate, private thing, which I think so many people struggle with and don't talk about. And get it, not just sharing it, but sharing it in this very explicitly political context. Can you share with us a little bit about what that's been like for you and your family?
Yeah, it's a good question, and I appreciate you asking, and I appreciate you calling out that it is difficult. And so, you know, I just want to start by saying anyone who has their own story, which is so many of us, they are deeply personal. And if it's something that they're thinking about talking about, and willing to share, you know, I just would encourage them to no end, because it's been really impactful for me. It's been about 2.5 years that I've been sharing, and it's been a slow burn. When we first decided to speak out, it was just to warn our fellow Texans of what was going on. And then that very quickly expanded into, you know, letting folks in other states know what was going on. And then it became political sometime after that. So we had filed the lawsuit, and then I got quite heavily involved in politics. And so we didn't immediately just jump into the political realm. I had sort of this warm up to get where we are today, but I wouldn't change a single thing because it has been impactful. We've seen it move the needle, both on an individual level and in a broader scale. We had 7 victories when abortion was on the ballot last cycle. And so the more of us who speak out, I think there really is power in numbers. And so I think it's something that we have to keep doing, and we have to do it in numbers, because that's really how we're moving the needle here.
Amanda, we could have a very long discussion about the ridiculous taboos that are placed around all kinds of women's health issues, from menopause to miscarriages and reproductive choice. We don't talk about these things nearly enough. So I just wanted to say, on a really personal level, I have had friends go through what you have gone through. I know how difficult it was for them to even share it with me. So thank you so much, Amanda, for your bravery and your family's courage in sharing what is such a personal and difficult moment for so many people. Minnie, I wanted to turn next to you. From the statistics that we have been able to accumulate since Dobbs was decided, are showing that in states with abortion bans, they're seeing markedly higher rates of infant mortality, maternal mortality, but also, sort of contrary to what you might otherwise think, increased numbers of abortions versus the time periods before Dobbs was decided, before these bans could take ipso facto effect. Is it as clear as a choice between standing for women's health and saying, I'm going to support the lives of women? Is that really what this choice is? If you're going to vote for Brad Schimmel, is that a vote saying, I don't care about women's lives, and I don't care about whether or not we can keep babies alive? Is that as stark a choice as what we've got here?
Yeah, you know, look, at the end of the day, what we're asking the state of Wisconsin, what we're asking Wisconsinites to weigh in on is, do you think that women are full equal citizens in this country, in this state? Should we have access to our fundamental freedoms, to our freedom to decide if, when, and how to have a family? And as you just said, the ancillary effects, our ability to access maternal health, our ability to access prenatal care, our ability to have healthy children. When we take away that fundamental freedom from a mother, from a woman, it has these other impacts on overall society. We're hearing about maternal health deserts. You may be anti-abortion, but do you want the women in your life to have access to care? of any kind, because that's the kind of world that Amanda and folks in my home state of Texas are dealing with there right now. And I just want to add my deep gratitude to Amanda, but and all the incredible storytellers. We were with Dr. Lyerly this morning.
Yes.
Patients and providers telling their stories moves the needle the most with voters. And it's incredible bravery to put themselves out there, particularly in these red states where they are under direct assault.
Folks, that's Minnie Timuraju, Executive Director of Reproductive Freedom for All. Amanda, we've got about a minute left. I'm going to give you the last word in this segment. What's, again, your message to Wisconsin voters, especially those who maybe for religious reasons or their faith reasons aren't inclined to support Susan Crawford? What do you say to them?
I think we just need to have the conversation, which is that at its most basic level, abortion is simply healthcare. I needed it to save my life. I needed it to be able to have children in the future. And as a result of being denied that care that I needed, my life has been permanently altered. And so when we're talking about these things of pro-life, pro-choice, really, at the end of the day, there's nothing pro-life about a ban and about a politician telling me what I can or can't do with my body. And so,
folks, I think we just lost the very tail end of Amanda Zurowski, the brave woman sharing her story about how she almost died because of the abortion ban. Be sure you get out and vote for Susan Crawford on April 1st. Thank you to Minnie. Thank you to Amanda. Keep it locked, everybody. We're going to be coming back with Nick Meisner of Discover Green Bay. What's the impact of the NFL draft? Keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. All over, all over, all over. I feel the earth move under my feet. I feel the sky tumbling down, tumbling down.
Everybody, everybody, let's get into it. Get stoned,
come on.
Get it started,
come on.
Get it started,
yeah.
Get it started.
Control a body and soul. Don't move too fast, people just take it slow. Don't get ahead, just jump into it. Y'all hear about it, the P's will do it. Get started, get stupid. Don't worry about it, people will walk you through it step by step like an infant new kid. Inch by inch with a new solution. Transmit hits with no delusion. The feeling's irresistible and that's how we move it.
Everybody, everybody, let's get into it. Get stupid, get started, get started.
Time, your can't stand still, twist and bang your spine.
Just
bob your head like me, Apple D, up inside your club or in your Bentley. Get messy, loud and sick, your mind fast, normal on another head trip.
So
come down now, do not correct it. Let's get ignorant, let's get hectic.
Everybody, everybody, let's get into it. Get stoned,
come on.
Get started,
come on.
Get started,
get started.
Let's get it started. Let's get it started.
You. Thank you so much, Cal. You're listening to the Maggie Don Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Hopefully we get Maggie jumping back in here in just a moment. Obviously we had a couple of really great advocates just a few minutes ago talking about reproductive rights. They're going to be rallying through in Madison later today. And Cal, I guess you and I are going to just chit chat for a little bit until we get Maggie back in here. She had to step out for just a few moments. You know, sometimes the technical part of things doesn't work very well. And we understand that. And we do have a great rest of the show for you today, because Maggie is going to take a deep dive into some more of the reproductive rights conversation. And she's going to also talk a little bit about some of the court cases that have been going on over the course of the last couple of days in the Donald Trump administration. So hopefully she can jump in here in just a few moments, and she can go ahead and fill in some of those gaps for us. In the meantime, Cal, what should we talk about while we wait for Maggie's technical issues to come back to life on us? Anything in particular that you would like to hit on here today as we're waiting?
Yeah, you know, I don't have anything too particular. But, you know, speaking of the reproductive health conversation, I know Jane and Greg had Dr. Lyerly and a lady by the name of Laurel Marcinkus, who has a similar story to Sarah that we heard from last segment. And just a frightening situation that that's a reality for many women in the country today.
Absolutely. And unfortunately, this is a conversation that's becoming all too common for a lot of women across the country. There we go. The technical end is working. Oh, we're so glad that you're back, because Cal and I don't want to have to try these cases and do the lawyer thing here today.
Well, my thanks to Calvin and Jamie. Get it. Hanging in there with me as we solve some of these technical glitches. There must be something weird going on in the Matrix today, I have to say. But there are so many important things for us to talk about. And I do have to say, some of the news that I wanted to address this afternoon continues to break almost like in it, as the minutes are ticking by. Folks, again, our big thanks to Amanda and Minnie for joining us for the first half hour. So powerful to talk with both of them. And thanks for sticking around. Of course, you're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show, helped out by my senior producer, Jamie, and Kelvin on the board this afternoon. But here is the meat of the thing that I wanted to get into and to talk with all of you about. Over the last, I'm going to just say, like 24 hours, I think the fig leaf that the Trump administration had been using to explain, at least try to explain away its open flouting of a federal court's orders, has become plain. And I believe nearly indisputable. So I know my colleague Todd Albo was talking about this during his show, but what we're addressing here is a Trump, the Trump administration using an executive order on Friday to invoke the Alien Enemies Act, and then proceeding over the weekend to deport approximately, by the reporting that I've seen, approximately 200, maybe a little over 200 men that the administration has claimed were members of the Tren de Aragua gang, and sending them first to El Salvador and eventually on to first through Honduras and eventually on to El Salvador. By the way, that was a money-making deal entered into between the president of El Salvador and Donald Trump. Apparently, we're going to pay El Salvador to hold these men. I want to actually start with what has been going on today, and update this discussion. At the core of the debate, the tension, the disobedience of a court order that is going on is really two questions. One, the Trump administration's use of the Alien Enemies Act in and of itself. Can they do that to deport people, even people they think are extremely violent, terrible people? Can you use the Alien Enemies Act to do that? That's legal question one. Legal question two is, did the Trump administration knowingly and with intention disobey a court order? Today, for various reasons, I'm going to tell you that I believe that that is 100% true, and that as a result, we have now, in these days, since basically Saturday afternoon, late afternoon, from Saturday afternoon until this point in time, what we have witnessed is a coup, a quiet coup, a coup without a single gunshot being fired. But I want to make no mistake, I do believe that what we are now seeing is a coup. This is Donald Trump trying to not execute and administer and use the powers lawfully granted to any president under our Constitution. No, it is a coup where Donald Trump is trying to instill himself, not as an elected president, empowered and, yes, limited by the Constitution. No, this is Donald Trump establishing himself as no less than a dictator. Here is what is critical. Today in filings, in the court case that is going on, where Donald Trump's invocation and use of the Alien Enemies Act is being challenged, a judge ordered the deportation of these 200 men to be stopped, saying in the court hearing on Saturday, if the planes are in the air, turn them around. That has not happened. Three airplanes, count them, one, two, three, and I'm going to go through the timeline in great detail. Three airplanes in direct violation of this court's order took off from the United States and have subsequently landed in El Salvador after a brief stopover in Honduras. Here are the things that today the Trump administration has admitted in filings in this court case. Today, the Trump administration acknowledged that many of these people deported, these alleged gang members, did not have any criminal records. Again, I'm going to repeat that. The Trump administration today admitting that many of the people deported, and again, the use of the term many of the people deported, I would say in clear contravention, in clear flouting of the judge's authority, did not have criminal records. Secondly, in court today, the Trump administration is arguing to the judge overseeing this case, this is Judge Boasberg, has argued to the judge in that case that the judge, and yes, the very constitutional fabric that we all, I think in good faith, want to preserve and uphold, that the judicial branch has no authority to review the orders issued by the President of the United States because, and I'm quoting here, the presidential actions are not subject to judicial review, end quote. I want us all to take a pause and consider. The presidential actions are not subject to judicial review. If you are a constitutionalist, if you are a conservative, if you are a MAGA supporter, if you are a Trump voter, I would like us all in good faith to confront that statement for what it is. The presidential actions are not subject to judicial review, and therefore the court has no jurisdiction. There is no presidential action, I would offer to you, ladies and gentlemen, that cannot be legitimately challenged in court. The Supreme Court, yes, has declared some presidential immunities, but the idea that you can challenge and say, well, what about this presidential action? Is that actually immune? Is this presidential action actually one of those core executive branch powers? Or is it not? The idea that this administration and lawyers working for this administration that they're offering us is that you simply cannot even raise the challenge. My friends, that is not how any democracy works. That is not how any democracy works. This is a coup, plain and simple. Again, these are developments today that have happened. I am going to review the entirety of the timeline, some really important facts that have become clearer based on some absolutely excellent reporting by the New York Times, as well as Heather Cox Richardson pulling it all together in her Substack newsletter, publication called Letters from an American. I'm going to go through the timeline. We're going to discuss why this is so dangerous, that in fact, we may have been talking about Donald Trump's abuse of powers, undertaking actions that are clearly unconstitutional, like trying to just declare birthright citizenship not a thing, even though the Constitution includes that. We've talked about all of this, but we have yet to actually face the administration openly flouting a court order. They're trying to say that they didn't. It is absolutely, in my opinion, unequivocally clear that they did, and they did so knowingly. And as a result, we have now crossed the line into full constitutional crisis. Yes, this is a coup. An elected president trying to place himself and any decision he makes above the law. 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome and welcome back. If you are rejoining us, my name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. This afternoon, an afternoon of absolutely critical discussions here on my show and many others that you have come to trust here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Started off this afternoon with Mini Timuraju and Amanda Zilker, who spoke of the importance of the April 1st general election. Again, go to myvote.wi.gov to make sure that you are registered and make a voting plan. Bring a friend or two, but make sure that your vote counts. We have now delved into the constitutional crisis that is happening today, right now. And by the way, it's not just on this particular judicial order. There are other orders that Judge Chutkan has issued also out of the D.C. Federal Circuit Court that have asked the administration to produce documents related to the Doge mass firings. Those have yet to be produced. Again, the Trump administration's arguments in many of these cases is not just, of course, Donald Trump or any president has the power to do so. It's also you, the judiciary, don't even get to interrogate whether or not he has the power to do this. And we're not going to provide you the data or information that you seek and have requested in order to determine whether or not what Donald Trump has been doing, what he proposes to do, is a valid exercise of his presidential authority. Think of that. Not only are we going to argue that he's got this power, which of course we should be able to suss out in court, they're saying you don't even get to ask. All of this should be dismissed, and we're not going to provide you with that information. That's what's going on in the Venezuela case. That's what's going on in the case proceeding brought by the attorneys general that Judge Chutkan is presiding over out of the D.C. Circuit, that we won't even provide the information you seek. Say what? And then later on this show, we are going to bring on Jason Stein of the Wisconsin Policy Forum to talk about the state budgeting process, which is about to get underway in earnest. So very important, chocked full of information. And we want to give our thanks to Nick Meisner of Discover Green Bay. We're going to talk about the NFL draft on another day. Too much news happening this afternoon. And Nick got pulled into a very important public meeting about the upcoming NFL draft. So we'll have Nick back sometime in early April, talk about the economic impact statewide of the NFL draft. So our thanks to Nick and Discover Green Bay. We will talk to you soon in April. We have our good friend Dick from Madison on the line. Dick, are you as alarmed as I am, or do you think this is a nothing burger?
Oh, it's huge. And I'm sure I don't have to tell you this. Another thing, they're coming after media people. In other words, like you, the yes. print media, just finished a tremendous article in New York Times Magazine. I'm sure you know all about it. The Sullivan Law from 1964.
Yes.
And they want to try and, yes, and they want to get that back into the Supreme Court. That's what he's up to. And see, what it is with Trump, the way I see him, he's all about the law when it's in his favor.
Suits him.
And when he can sue people and constantly string stuff out when he was in business and deadbeat people, then it's okay. But otherwise, it doesn't work for anybody else. It's just, you know, his way or the highway. And it's gotten just totally out of hand. But that Sullivan thing, I read that article and it's scarier than hell.
Yes, I will get to that. Maybe not today, Dick, but thank you so much for making sure that it is top of mind. We'll see if we can dive into that piece on the Sullivan Law. And Dick, I wanted to just lean into this point that you're making about Trump's sort of dual attacks on the media, as well as these constitutional attacks, because I think you're onto something here, right? Donald Trump talks out of both sides of his mouth all day long. As you pointed out, when it comes to the rule of law, he's all for it when it works for him. When it doesn't, it's, of course, completely corrupt and courts have no role at all whatsoever. Similarly, when it comes to the media and the press, Donald Trump talks about, well, we need free speech and more free speech and stop with all the censorship. And at the same time, he's attacking media institutions, suing them, going after them for exercising those very rights that he, when it's about his free speech, gets on the bully pulpit to defend. Am I on the right track here, Dick? Do we have just absolute inconsistencies of really fundamental importance on both the idea of free speech and when it comes to the rule of law? What do you think, Dick?
I couldn't agree with you more. And you could see all of this coming, and it got very little coverage as well. That speech is just unprecedented, what he did last Friday. And I know you know what I'm talking about there. You know, and then he talks about Obama went there. No, Obama went there, but under totally different circumstances to thank, you know, Eric Holder. And he wasn't going there to weaponize the Department of Justice like he did last Friday.
Correct. There has never, the idea that any other president did anything like Donald Trump's speech on Friday to the Department of Justice is just absurdly laughable. If anybody makes that argument to me, you're not arguing in good faith. Never, ever in modern history, and probably ever, has a sitting president gone in front of the Department of Justice and said, you need to go after my enemies, and I've been persecuted, and just lay out the most partisan, self-interested, ridiculous rhetoric. These are dark times, friends. We're going to talk about what to do. I'm going to lay out the entire timeline that proves the Trump administration intentionally violated a court's order. The constitutional crisis is here. We discuss more after news, weather, and sports at the top of the hour. I'm Maggie Dawn, your lady lawyer and economist on the air, here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us, 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.